One of my favorite weekly television shows was the comedy called Frasier. This show indulged us with hilarious predicament that Frasier, his brother Niles, his father, and his caregiver Daphne entered into each and every week. One particular episode comes to mind. As always, Frasier is pursuing his latest and newfound love interest. She seems to finally succumb to his amorous pursuit. At a moment's notice, she invites Frasier along for a ride along the Pacific coast. His imagination runs wild with possibilities. All alone on a romantic excursion with this beautiful woman. Could life be more green? But it all comes to an abrupt halt as they begin their journey. The trip has just begun. Both are seated in the car. When all of a sudden she slowly turns to him, excitement in her eyes, and she declares, "I was wondering, could I share with you my personal relationship with Jesus?" Talk about a mood killer. Now Frasier gets to hear evangelism firsthand for the next 6 hours of their long journey. Not exactly what he had in mind. Speaking about Jesus can be tricky. To some, the mere mention of your personal relationship with Jesus can send them into a frenzied panic and a mad dash for the nearest exit. You can speak of Jesus as a prophet, a holy man, a teacher, spiritual leader. Few will object. Speak of him as God, as Son of God, or as being divine. Your listener may go numb. This speaking of Jesus brings us to our gospel lesson today, where Jesus discusses his identity with his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, a city originally named Peneus after the Greek god Pan, the god of music. Caesarea Philippi is located north of Israel at the foot of Mount Hermon, near the main source of the Jordan River. Caesar Augustus had given this land to Herod. When Herod died, his son Philip renamed it after Caesar and himself. So here we are, outside Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do they say that I am?" They respond, "Some of the people suppose him to be a risen prophet." Many had believed that perhaps similar to the opinion of King Herod, found in Matthew 14, that Jesus was some sort of reincarnated John the Baptist. Some thought Jesus to be the fulfillment of prophecy as the return of Elijah, as indicated in Malachi chapter 4. Still others offered the explanation that Jesus was perhaps a return of the suffering prophet, Jeremiah. Though all of these responses lifted Jesus to prophet status, none were accurate. The answer seemed politically correct and with a touch of merit, but fell well short of who Jesus actually was. Simply put, a high opinion of Jesus is just not enough. As Peter comes to know, Jesus is far more. Peter gets it right. "You are the Son of the living God, the Messiah." The main point of our discussion this morning surrounds Jesus' question, "Who do you say that I am?" In Matthew's Gospel, Peter's confession is the first mention of Jesus as the Messiah by one of the apostles. Jesus responds, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." It is at this very moment that Peter, through renewed eyes, sees for the first time that Jesus truly was the Son of the living God. The phrase, "the Son of the living God," recalls Psalm 2, in which God acclaims the King of the people as his Son and as being sovereign over all the earth. Peter's revelation was truly of the Holy Spirit, beyond human reason. For this, Jesus renamed Simon as Peter, or rock of the church. This recalls Old Testament figures such as Abram and Jacob, who were also given new names by God. In sum, Peter's confession of faith, naming Jesus as the Son of the living God, develops the very foundation of the church. It is the here and now that we most clearly decipher the distinction between reason and revelation. Reason stems from flesh and blood, but revelation comes but from God. It is within Peter's revelation by the Holy Spirit that we truly understand who Christ is. However, there is a more important issue at hand. Jesus asks us here today, in this church, who do we say he is? Yes. It had to come from John. All of a sudden, Jesus' question leaps off the written page and beckons our heart. He's asking you and me, who do you say I am? Jesus is not interested in what the church says, not interested in what someone else says, but what do you think? As an individual, who do you say he is? Recently, a Lutheran Bible class posed this question to its members. Here's what they said. Jesus is my intercessor, just as my mother in childhood was between me and my father. Jesus is my Savior because he has saved me by his death on the cross. Jesus is the personification of God for me, because God is too big for my mind to handle. And finally, Jesus is my friend who knows everything about me and still loves me. Notice the different words used to describe Jesus, how most of them use the word my, such as my intercessor, my Savior, and my friend. The relationship described by these students with Christ was always personal. That's because our relationship with Christ is always personal. With Peter's confession, he shows us that Jesus is our Savior, our very Christ. Peter shows us that Christianity is a revealed religion, a faith from above, inspired by God. Christianity is beyond a learned belief system, more than a philosophical teaching. Revealing of Christ to us, in us, as a remnant of God's goodwill and the true foundation of happiness. In the end, we see other faiths as having similar core beliefs as Christianity, such as love and maintaining principles of the good and true. But only Christianity has Jesus. God had only given us a book or some set of rules by which to live, but no Jesus, we'd be just another philosophy, just another system of thought. But no, God went further, revealing himself to us in the flesh as a Jew in Nazareth, called Jesus, in Hebrew literally meaning God saves. And he does. And he does. Amen.